You know what I've learned along life's way? Sometimes I just need Jesus. I know that some of y'all probably think this, but I don't always stay on top of the mountain. I'm not always up there in the sunshine. Sometimes I have to remind myself, I just need Jesus. Sometimes in the mix of doing all the things that we do, sometimes I think we really forget that He's the answer for everything that we need. There's not one part of life that my Jesus does not know how to help me with. Sometimes I think it's just that reminder that we need. So this is what I dare you to do. I want them to sing that chorus again. I just want us to lift our hands. Y'all sing it lightly too. Sing it lightly for me. Let's just ask ourselves, what do we want this morning? What do we come for this morning? Just give me Jesus. Come on, let's just worship together as we sing this song. Father God, Lord, let me always remember. Lord, let me always strive. Lord, let me always be hungry and thirsty after this righteousness that's in Christ Jesus. Lord, I don't have to go without. Lord, I don't have to lack. Lord, I can have the abundance of your grace and your mercy in my life. Father God, I ask for your grace. I ask for your strength. Lord, bless us this morning as we continue to bless the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask this all in Jesus' name, and we say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Look at your neighbor and say, praise the Lord. That was weak. Y'all act like y'all ain't even been through camp meeting. Look at your neighbor and say, praise the Lord. Let me go ahead and give a fair warning. Unless the Holy Ghost just absolutely takes over, I'm not going to yell at y'all this morning. I'm not going to preach a hard sermon this morning. Yes, I will. I told my wife on the front row, I said, now I know what I'm preaching. I said, we have gotten some good word this last week at camp meeting. And I don't know if anybody enjoyed it as much as I do, but sometimes I enjoy getting to be a member and getting to be in church. And I know I thoroughly enjoyed it. And let me say this. I don't ever disrespect the man of God who preaches as long as he preaches correctly. Y'all hear me on that? That was not a correction. That was just a clarification on a statement that was made that I just wanted to clear up and remind us all. You know what, Candy? I don't want to identify who I used to be. I want to know who I am now in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God. I want to thank everybody who made camp meeting a success last week. I could go through a long list of people, the singers, the people who cooked, the nursery workers, the security, the ushers, but thank y'all. It was just a good week. It was. I'm thankful. Y'all, 8 people gave their hearts to the Lord last week. 8 people gave their hearts to Jesus. I'll tell you this right here, that And what about the sound system and the projector screen? I mean, what about those media people up there? I mean, We would not have made it. We would not have made it if it weren't for you two. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In fact, I may write a salary check to them. Probably not, but still. Thank you. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1, start with verse number 11. One of my favorite 2 verses that Paul ever said throughout his many epistles that he wrote, but I'm going to be preaching I'm going to be talking. I'm going to teach. I don't know what I'm going to do. We'll figure it out together. I went home Thursday and had to take a two-hour nap in the middle of the day because that's how much camp meeting exhausted me. It was just a good week, but I was tired. We pray for all the ministers who came through. We pray for all the people who got saved. I will say this. That's what I was about to say. I prayed with several people, Ray, about getting saved throughout the week of camp meeting. I had one young man. They tapped me on the shoulder. They said he wants to be led to Jesus. And so I went up to him and I talked to him. And Brother Gary, as I began to pray with him, he went to the sinner's prayer. And I just opened my eyes. He had these big crocodile tears flowing down his face. I hugged on him. I loved on him a little bit more, prayed with him. After church, that young man came up to me and he said, after you got done praying with me, he said, all of a sudden I felt these goosebumps come all over me. And I just felt good. I said, you know what that was? He said, what? That was the Spirit of the Lord touching you. That was Jesus that you just accepted into your heart coming down. You know what I thought? You know what I thought, Danny Beasley? I thought, that is the reason why we do what we do right there. To see people who did not know Jesus, but because of a church who's willing to have church and teach Jesus and preach Jesus, we got to see someone come home. But I certify to you, brethren, look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in the times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equal in my own nation. Y'all better pray for me. I'm going to have somebody read it for me, apparently. Being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition. Wow, this is pitiful right here. From the traditions of my fathers, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. I'm going to stop there. We're not going to read no more. I think that's a good place to stop right there. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Amen. Two moments of life right there. Y'all catch that? The moment I was born from my mother and the moment that he called me by grace. What did Nicodemus ask Jesus? What must I do to be born again? What must I do to receive this life? He said, you have to be born of the water and you have to be born of the blood. Nicodemus said, how should I go into my mother's womb again and be born again? That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about this being called by grace. I'm glad that I have God's grace in my life. I'm glad that I have God's grace in my life. If it weren't for the grace of God, I would not be where I am today. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to worship you. I ask that you give me the grace and the anointing, God, and let my words come out of my mouth the way they're supposed to, Lord. We're not going to struggle today, Lord, but we're going to experience your presence today. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in the work of the altars this morning. God, and I expect great things in the altar service to come. Lord, we ask this all in Jesus' name, and we say amen and amen. You may be seated. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but I do have a few friends. I got a few of them, and some of my friends are good. Some of my friends are mean. Some of my friends, I get on their nerves. I don't know why. I feel like I'm a best friend that anybody could ever have, right, Frankie? And, I mean, I don't know what I need to do more to be as great as I am, but my friends, sometimes they're mean to me, but I still love them. I don't know why. But I have a friend who is absolutely the meanest human being you've ever met. I mean, he is just callous. He anything you want to say, he's got something else to say it. I mean, I'm sentimental. He laughs at me for being sentimental. He's just that friend. But this Christmas, his wife told my wife that he picked out a present for me for Christmas. I imagined a gag gift, really. I thought it was going to be something dumb, something that I don't need, something that's a waste of shelf space. And sure enough, when Christmas rolled around and I got the present, I opened it up and there was an ornament from Hallmark that was a dumpster fire. I said, wow, that's the gift I got from my friend. And Mandy went, that's not the gift. I went, that's not the gift. And so I went on to open it up. And all of a sudden, I opened up this really fancy box. And I opened up this box and I looked at it and there was a pen that had my name engraved on the side of it. And I went, well, that's a beautiful pen. If you know me, I have certain pens that I like, and I stick to them. I collect pens. Pens are just something that I love. I may not write with it one time, but I absolutely love to have a pen. I got these wood grain pens in my, I'll bore you with all my pens. Anyways, so when I got this pen in my hand, I looked at it, and I said, I got it right here. And I said, boy, that's a fancy pen. I said, there's my name right there, Tyler Rankin. It's spelled correctly. I opened it up, and I felt the Holy Ghost when I opened it up because it opened up with such ease because I'm that way about pens. And it, listen, y'all ready? Listen, it goes, oh, it's a good pen. Oh, that's a good one right there. You want me to do it again for you, Ryan? You want me to do it again? Ready? Oh, that's good. Anyways, I love this pen. So I talked with his wife, and she was wanting to know how I felt about the pen. I said, I'm really excited about the pen. It's a nice pen. She goes, it's a very beautiful pen. I said, it's a very beautiful pen. We kept talking about the pen. And I was just, you know, okay, I love it. But then she told me what the pen was. To me, it's just a pretty golden pen, right? It's a 24-karat golden pen. If I need to make money, you know what I'm going to say. Anyways, if I need some money, I'm coming to y'all. But anyways, I said, it's what? She said, it's 24 carats. I went, why would anybody put that on a pen? You know, I think that's something I feel like I should wear it on me. And when she was telling me about it, you heard that wife voice say, he got you something before he got me something. I said, what? I said, I got a 24-karat gold pen and you ain't got nothing yet? And she said, you're not helping the situation any. So then they also got me a journal. So every night I sit down at the bed and I write about y'all. I'm joking. I don't write about y'all by name. But anyways, I make little notes. One of my mentors told me, he said, every time you can, you need to sit down and write about the way that you feel. And there's strict orders that if I fall over dead, these are to be burned. Frankie, you hear me? Crematory, burn them. There's no need for anybody to read them. But if I were to give you this, you're going to open up this book and you're going to start reading it. Now, what you would read is you would read how one day I was on the top of the mountain and I had experienced the greatest day of my life. And the very next day, you may hear me write saying, I hated a day. I hated everything about it. I'm glad it's bedtime. Saints of God say, amen. Some days you'll read that I had the best day, me and Mandy had the best day with the kids, and then days you won't even read anything just because I didn't feel like writing. But what you can do is you can get this book written by this very bougie pen, and you will begin to understand how I operate because you'll begin to be able to read about my life in this book. You'll be able to start to identify how I operate and how I function. Why? Because I pour my heart out into this little bitty book that I don't want anybody to read. Because it has some of my deepest feelings. It has some of my greatest heartaches. It has some of my greatest triumphs in it. But it's all about me and my story. You see, because I'm the one who has the pen. And so I'm the one who writes exactly what I've been through. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. That as beautiful as this pen and is as great as it is and as wonderful as it means to me, that my God holds an even greater pen in his hand. And you know what? I believe that it has my name written on it. I believe it has my name etched in it. And you know what? I believe that there's a book that is dedicated to me, that every day he opens up the book and he begins to write the story of my life. And you know, the thing about it is I have to sometimes submit to what he writes. Yeah, I need some more amens on that one. You see, we didn't get a big amen on that one because in that moment we want to say, but God sometimes writes some hard stuff about me. He does write some hard stuff about me, but I learned something along this way. And I love what one of the speakers said this last week at camp meeting. He said, you got to understand that everything we go through, we're still going to survive it. Everything that we encounter, that we're going to survive it, because God would not write in our book, in our story, for us to die in the battle. Y'all better help me preach this morning. He would not write in the story that I was going to drown and die in a watery grave. No, he wrote in the story that I may get wet, I may sink a little bit, but because of Jesus, I can walk on the waters. Because of Jesus, I can speak peace into my life. Why? Because Jesus is with me every step of the way. But God sometimes writes the story that I have to submit to, that I don't like. And I have to be okay with it. I have to succumb to it. I have to accept that if this is what God wants, then I'm going to have to follow what he wrote out for me. There's some of you in here who, if I gave the microphone and I asked you the honest question, have there been chapters of your life that you hated? You know what they're going to say? Absolutely. There have been chapters, Sister Donna, that I have been excited when God put the final period and he flipped the page and he started the next chapter. There have been chapters in my life where I had to leave people in that chapter and I had to move right on because God wrote them out of my life. And as bad as it hurt and as sad as it was, I hate to see them go, but I learned the chapters to come was something greater if they were not written in my story. I wish somebody would listen to what I'm telling you, that there are times in my life where when God writes a story, it is full of heartbreak and it is full of sadness, but it makes me depend on him more. My Lord, one of my favorite Bible verses is what Paul, the Apostle Paul said, for these light afflictions are but for a moment. What? This is not in my notes. I'm going to start preaching them in just a minute. What do you mean? My light affliction is but for a moment. BJ, can I ask you a question? Would you want to write somebody tell you that's a light affliction that you have? There ain't no light affliction that I have because it rewrote my complete story. Why would God... I got good notes over here I get back to, okay? Why would God write that in my story? He wrote that in my story because he helped me understand that my affliction that I'm going through right now is so much lighter than the glory that I'm going to inherit. The glory that I'm going to inherit because of Jesus is so much greater than my light affliction. So let's just go ahead and dive into the story. I wanted to start with Galatians chapter 1. Verses 11 and on through that verse, that chapter, because Paul begins to tell his story a little bit. We could also go to the book of Acts chapter 22, and there we'll read his story also. We could also go to Acts chapter 9, in which we're going to hit all these in just a moment. Acts chapter 9 is a live action. But in Galatians chapter 1, he said in verse 13, because you have remembered me in my former life. Y'all remember people who messed up sometimes? We've preached about it before. We're Christians. We can remember everybody's mistake. Y'all say amen. I can remember what you were doing, what you were wearing, what you said, and how you did it, because I remember everything that you did. That's what the world does. The church is also good at remembering. So the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to Galatians, to the church of Galatia, he said, you remember who I used to be? You remember how I persecuted the church of God and how I desired to destroy it? I did not want it to prosper. And we all know that his name was what? Saul in this storyline. Saul couldn't stand this church. Saul couldn't stand the people who called themselves Christians. He couldn't stand the very message of Jesus Christ because it went against everything that he believed in the temple. Any opportunity that he had to stop and snuff out the move of God is what he did. And then, you know what, Brian Bridges? He heard of a man by the name of Stephen one day. Stephen got up and Stephen didn't care. Stephen didn't care who he was talking to. Stephen didn't care who he was addressing. He actually pointed his finger and said, you stiff-necked people, you're the one who put them on a cross and killed them. You're the one who did this. They become so mad at him. They become so engrossed by him. And the Bible doesn't really paint the picture, but there was a man by the name of Saul who was on the other side getting them riled up against him. Listen to what he's saying about you. Listen to what he's saying, calling you stiff-necked, calling you a sinner, calling you someone who crucified a guilty man. Look at what he's doing to you. And he brought such havoc over the church that they couldn't stand this man named Stephen. He heard Stephen get up and preach. He heard Stephen get up and exhort. He heard Stephen talk about Jesus. But what joy filled his heart when they begin to bite at him and they begin to knock him down. They begin to curse him and call him every name in the book. What joy came about him when he looked and they picked up stones and they began to stone that precious man named Stephen. But what a testimony was said when Saul had to hear the words of Stephen look up into heaven and seeing Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. You can't tell me that a man could see such glory and keep it to himself. No, he had to utter those words, I see Jesus standing. Amen. I imagine the enragement, the indignation that was rising inside of Saul, as now not only is he preaching about Jesus, but he's also saying that he sees Jesus. And do you think for a moment that Saul didn't hear when Stephen said, Lord, don't lay this charge on them, for they don't know what they're doing. And the Bible says that Stephen went to sleep and he slept with the fathers in that moment. Chapter 8 says, but Saul made havoc over the church, going from house to house, dragging off both men and women and putting them into prison. He could not stand this church of Jesus Christ. Are y'all listening to me? But there was a God in heaven, although he was away from them. He had the pen in his hand and he began to write the story about how you better go down to Damascus. Go on down to Damascus. This is what I love. I preached to y'all on I forget what service it was, Christmas, about how all roads lead to Rome. That God allowed in due time for the world to build the system that would carry the gospel. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost right here. How Saul got up, got on his horse, and he began to ride down to Damascus with a letter in his hand from the synagogue to take every person who called themselves a Christian and put him into jail. But as he went down that road, a God in heaven had already written the story and told him exactly what was going to happen. You have got to remember, while you feel like God has forsaken you, while you feel like God has left you alone, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 says, before you were ever formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I sanctified you and I ordained you to be a prophet unto all nations. So before he was even called by name, God had already called him in the spirit. My Lord, I know I'm preaching the story. I know this is nothing to shout about. I'm going to preach at the end, okay? While Saul was standing there with his plans of bloodshed over the church, while he saw the body of Stephen going to be buried, Acts chapter 9 and Acts 22 tells the story of exactly what happened. I got on my horse and I was going to Damascus. But along the way, something happened to me. My God, is there anybody in the house who remembers that when something happened to me, part of your testimony? But something happened to me because I was going to bring havoc to the church, but the church showed up to me. And it wasn't the church themselves, it was the head of the church who knocked him off of his donkey, put him on the ground and said, Saul! Even while he was lost, God still knew his name. My Lord, that'll preach right there. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you coming against my church? Why are you doing all of these things? And you see, in that moment, the pen was being written in heaven saying Saul would be turned into a man by the name of Paul, and he would wreak havoc over the devil and the darkness of the kingdom. Because why? Because he had a moment. Because God had written something in his story. It completely revolutionized his life. Now, this is what I want you to catch. Y'all remember when Jacob wrestled with the angel? Y'all remember that part? And his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. Y'all remember there was always these different names. The three Hebrew boys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, had Hebrew names, but King Nebuchadnezzar changed them. Daniel had a different name, but King Nebuchadnezzar changed it. All throughout the Bible, if anybody's names change, there's a talk about it. There's a mention about it. But nowhere in the Bible do you read where God said, thou shalt not be called Saul, but thou shalt be called Paul. It's not there. Because you know why? God wrote in his story that he was going to do something greater than he could ever conceive. Because while he was down on the ground, God said, why do you persecute me? But at the same time, God went down to Ananias' house and told Ananias, there's a man by the name of Saul who's gotten saved. You go over there and you pray with him, you baptize him, and he'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you not know who he is, God? What is it? The church remembered who he was. Do you not know who you're talking about here? And you want me to go down and pray for him? He can't stand us. He hates us. But then God said, I have called him to be the light to the Gentiles. So Saul was his Hebrew name. But his mom and his daddy also gave him another name by the name of Paul, because Paul was his Roman name. So ever before he knew who he was in Christ, God had already written in his story for him to be both Jew and both Gentile. Sometimes we don't understand why things fall into place the way they do. But I'm going to tell you something. Can I be bold? Sit down, hush, and wait for God to show you. He was persecuting the church, but in that moment he was saved. And from the moment of his birth to that moment now, he's no longer just Saul. He's no longer just the Hebrew, but now he is Paul, who has a platform with the world. My God, that's some good preaching right there. All because God wrote out his story. Two-thirds of the New Testament was written by this man named Paul. He wrote to the church at Philippi. He wrote to the Ephesian church, the Galatian church, the Thessalonian church. He wrote to all kind of churches and told them about how they need to position themselves and fix themselves to continue the work of God. I want to tell you something. Don't be mad at the pastor when he calls your sin out. Can I tell you this? Being called out for sin is not being judged. Accountability is not judgment. Y'all ain't saying amen. Me calling sin out in a godly manner is not me condemning you. It's trying to bring light to the sin that you've allowed into your life. Are y'all listening to me? If you read the books that he wrote, he's not always the nicest. Actually, if you go up just a few verses, Candy, in Galatians chapter 1, he said, I'm amazed at how fast that you have left this man named Jesus. He did not hide the way he felt. I'm amazed at how quick you've moved on, but yet he still wrote the letters because he loved the people and he wanted the people to acknowledge what God had for them in his life. Now listen to this right here. Guess what Paul did? Paul still died a martyr's death. Y'all hear me? He still died a martyr's death. Although his story was coming to an end, although the pen was about to be set down, the book was about to be closed, what did he say? God has forsaken me. That's not what he said. God could have done better. That's not what he said. He said, I have fought a good fight. My God, y'all better listen to what I'm saying. I have finished my course and I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now listen, I caught something, Leanne. I've read that. I've quoted it 1.5 million times, but I caught something because there's one of those famous commas that he shall give me. Henrietta, what does that mean? I have a crown that I'm working for that my God will give me. We won't get to heaven, y'all, and there'll be a living light corner where I'll distribute your crowns. Y'all hear me? There will not be a position over there where Pastor Tyler and Miss Mandy's over there. Here's your crown, Ray. Here's your crown, Ryan. Here's your crown. That's not the way it's worked. It says that he shall give me my crown. You know what, Ray? If God has to write my story and it hurts, but at the end of it all, he's there. And he gives me my crown. I'm going to preach to y'all in 2.2 seconds. Okay, y'all get me. We're going to go home early. You know what my meemaw said one time? She said, when cancer was going through her body, you know what she said? She said, you know what? It's okay if this is what's going to happen. She said, because when I get there, he's going to give me a crown. And the moment he gives me that crown is the moment I take it off. And I go before his feet and I cast my crown. And you know what? Sometimes our story hurts. My God. Paul went through shipwrecks. Paul went through prisons. Paul went through broken pieces. Paul went through a snake bite. But yet he still said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And I have a crown that he shall give me that day. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost right here. So brothers and sisters, I have to tell you something. That yes, God is holding a pen in his hand. But your story is still not over. Someone help me say it right there. My story is not over. Some of us want to think that this is as good as it's going to get. But baby, there's another chapter that's coming because my God knows how to write the story. Anybody going to listen to me this morning? My God knows how to write my story. Why I want to tell them no. Why I want to tell them go this way. God says, just sit back and let me write the story. Because you know what, Brother Danny Garrison said one of the most profound things that God can, what did he say? He said like this, God can do more for you in a moment. God can do more for you in a moment than you can do for yourself in a lifetime. Listen to me right here. God is still writing your story. There's still ink in the pen and there's still pages in his book. He has written me to be more than a conqueror. He has written me to have the strength as the day is long. I am able to overcome. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that's within this world. I am able to do it. Why? Because I have Jesus and I can do all things
through Christ which strengthens me. I may feel broken. I may feel like I'm falling apart, but my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I have strength to fight one more battle. I have the courage to face one more storm. I have the zeal to run toward one more Goliath. Why? Because God
wrote it in my story. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, and I'm washed in his blood. This is my story. Leanne, you hear that? This is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. Furthermore, God holds the pen and not the world. They can write about me all they want to. They can talk about you all they want to. But at the end of it all, my God holds the pen that writes my story. Y'all better Shonda with me in just a second. Somebody better get on fire for this right here. Because the world wants to write about you every day of their lives, go ahead and let them write. Because fire will burn up those papers. Fire will burn up those books. Fire will burn up what they said about me. But my God's story that he's writing about me will stand the test of time. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost right there. Because you know what? They're not writing my story. They're not singing my song. It's God who's written my story. This is my story. This is my song. This ain't their song. This ain't their story. So you know what? My God, I feel like preaching. I'm going to go home now. I'm done. We're going to dismiss right here. But this is the story that I'm going to tell. Tell what you want to. But I'll tell my story. Say what you want to. But I'll tell my story. Larry, I want to go home, but I want to tell something. It's a really good sermon, Chase. I don't want to tell them. But I preached a sermon one time about the three chairs and the ashtray. One of my favorite sermons I ever preached. Because Job lost everything. And instead of his three friends being in the ashtray with him, they went to their chair of judgment. Listen to me right here. Leanne, I feel like screaming right now because while everybody else wants to sit in their judgment chairs and I have to sit here in my ashtray and have to listen to what the world said I'd done wrong. Yeah. Ha! I'm preaching good right here. What the world said I'd done wrong and I have to sit here in my ashtray in my ruins of yesterday. I have a promise that the ashes will turn into beauty because he takes beauty for the ashes. But right now I'm sitting in my ashes and why everybody else judged me and why everybody else looks about me and curses me and says I'm not doing a good enough job. You go ahead and keep talking. Go ahead and keep cursing me. Go ahead and don't bless me. Go ahead and talk about me because you know what's going to happen. Job chapter 1 happened. Job chapter 2 happened. Job chapter 3 happened. But when Job 42 rolled around, you know what he had? He said, I ain't got nobody, but I got God on my side. I wish somebody would listen to what I'm preaching to you. My God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. This is my story. This is my story. This is my story. I want to tell it. I'm done. Y'all do something now. Y'all do it. I'm done. I gotta go to youth service tonight down in Northport. I gotta go in there and work with all them teenagers who love Jesus but still sin. That's where I'm going tonight. I'm going down there to help those kids, get them out of the fiery pits of hell and try to save. That's what I'm gonna do tonight. But you know what, to the living light people, go ahead and sing that song today. Go ahead and let the whole world know this is my story. And you know what? I'm going to sing it all the day long because this is a story that I'll tell. If I'll stand. Heavenly Father, God. Woo, glory to God. Woo, glory to God. For thus saith the Lord, the story has been written and the chapter has been closed, but my spirit was not removed from you. My spirit was present with you. In the time of sorrow, in the time of loneliness, in the time of feeling forsaken, my spirit was with you. You were never alone, saith the Lord. This is the story that I will tell. Let's lift our hands all over the sanctuary. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your spirit that is in this church today. I'm thankful, God, that you hold that pen. I'm thankful, Lord, that you have written my story. I am blessed. I walk in the grace. I walk in your peace. Lord, when my story is written, and by those still waters, you're God. Lord, when I'm in those green pastures, you're God. Lord, when I have to go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to be afraid because you're still with me. Although my flesh is weak, although my heart is broken, although my mind can't comprehend, Father God, I ask right now, Lord, that I keep on going because you keep on writing my story and I'm going to make it. Lord, I am going to make it. My story's not over yet. For some of us, the story has just begun. I thank you, Lord.